In a not-so-popular, not-always-spoken-about part of the Parsha, but also a fascinating part of the story of Parsha's Lech Lecha, is we know that Lot and Avram Avinu went on their different paths, split ways, and Lot went to his area, Sodom, and Avram Avinu went in his way, and ultimately Lot gets into trouble. Lot gets into the trouble because there's this massive world war. I don't know what we call it, World War Zero. It's before World War One. This was one of the first world wars, a major war, major battle. That there were as a battle of the four kings against the five kings, and the four kings were so powerful, right, that they even overcame such a strong malchus of the five kings. And ultimately it led itself to Lot himself getting into trouble, right? And the pasuk says in Perek Yud Dalet, pasuk Yud Aleph, as the war continues, Vayikhu es kol rechush Sodom, they took all the property of Sodom, Amora, ves kol chum vayilechu, and they, Vayikhu es Lot, and they even captured Lot, ves rechusho, and his property, Ben Achi Avram, the nephew of Avram, vayilechu, vuhu yoshev bisdoim. So how does this affect Avram Avinu? Says the Pasuk in Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayavo hapolit, vayage la Avram ha-ivri, vuhu shochin ba olineem amre. So Og Melech HaBoshen, Rashi tells us, came to tell Avram Avinu the news, to send over the message that your nephew Lot is in trouble. It says the pasuk, "Vayishma Avram kinish ba'achi vayorek es chanichov yilidei beso shmona osar ushlosh me'os vayirdof ad don." So what happens? Avram Avinu hears the news. Kinish ba'achiv, because his brother, his family is in trouble and is captured. Vayorak es chanichov, yiladei beso. Vayorak es chanichov, what does it mean? He did something to the family, to the children. Is dayin becharbi aleichem, orek charbi. He got them prepared something, chanichov. Also, unclear what it means exactly. We're going to analyze it. How many of these people? Something in preparation for battle. Yiladei beso, the children. Why specifically the children? And what's the number, says the pasuk? Shmona osar usholosh meos vayirdof adon. And their numbers were 318. And then he went on his mission to save Lot. Number one, what does all this mean? Yiladei beso, why specifically Yiladei beso? Why is it relevant to know the numbers of how many people were in Avram Avinu's army for this battle? And the psukim continue. Vayichalek aleihem laila, hu vavodov, vayakem vayirdefem ad chavo, asher mismol ledamosek. And they fought, and they fought in the night, and there was nisim, Rashi says, about what happened to the night. Vayoshev es kol ha-rechush v'gam es lot achivu ruchusho eshiv v'gam es anashim v'es ha-om, and Avram Avinu was victorious. And vayetze melech stom l'krosso achre shuvo mehakos es kadar l'omer v'es ha-melochim asher ito l'emek shaveihu emek ha-melech. And everyone was very impressed. And then there's a whole episode of Malki Tzedek coming out to greet and thank Avram Avinu with food, bread and wine. And he thanks Avram Avinu, but he thanks Avram Avinu before he thanks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Avram Avinu corrects him, and happens to be just an interesting Gemara. The Gemara says that was Malki Tzedek Melech Shalem Shem Ben Noach. He was supposed to have the kahuna go out from him, and the Gemara Nedarim says it switched from him to Avram Avinu because he switched the order, and he thanked Avram Avinu before he thanked HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But I'd like to focus on the first half of the story. Rashi tells us As Avram Avinu hears that his nephew Lot is in trouble, it says, Vayarek as Chanichav, again, a phrase that we're not sure, some sort of preparation for battle. Yiladei Beso, he prepared them for battle. Rashi says, like Chanoch Lenar, Chanukas HaMizbeach, the preparation to bring them in and enable them to fight. Shmona Osar Mea Ashlosh Meos, and the Torah goes out of its way to tell me how many people went into battle with Avram Avinu. Comes along Rashi and says, Shmona Osar, Vishlosh Meos, 318, Rabosenu Amru Eliezer Levado Haya, Vuhuminyan Gematria Shel Shmo. Rashi says something startling. Quoting the Gemara Nedarma Daf Lamed Beis, Rashi says, don't be fooled by the psukim. In truth, the only one who fought against the four kings that were such a fierce and strong malchus and such an arch enemy and such a world power, the only one who fought and assisted Avram Avinu in the battle was who? Eliezer. So says Rashi, so what does it mean, 318? Says Rashi, as the Gemara says, if you take the gematria and the cheshbon and the calculation of the name Eliezer, you will get to the number 318. Rabbi Isai, it's a beautiful Gemara. It's a beautiful pshat. But shteitnish in the pshuta shel mikra, the psukim don't say like that. And if Rashi is right, as the Maral points out, and if Rashi is correct, that really, in fact, the only two people that went to battle were really only Eliezer and Avram, so why is the Torah teaching it this in this weird way? Why is the Torah not saying and being remarkable and telling me unbelievable how great this Nes was, that Avram Avinu and Eliezer, the two on their own, took on this world power in World War I? Unbelievable. Tell me about that. Stop being so discreet. Stop sending ramazim through gematrias, through shtiklach Torah, to tell me how to decipher that only through a gemara and a dharma and daf lamed beis I could figure this out. And why is it that the gemara has to go that way? And why is it that if that pshat is true, why is it that the Torah doesn't present it like that? Why is it that from the Torah the impression is that there were 318 individuals assisting in the battle? What's going on here? What's with these hidden ramazim? If Rashi's right, if the Gemara's right, so the Pasuk doesn't make sense. And why would the Pasuk choose to teach it me like that? And why be discreet if that pshat is correct? What's going on, and why is this very odd number, Savitsky? 318. What's going on over here? Rabosai, this needs a pshat. Meaning, as much as Rashi's pshat is beautiful and the Gemara's pshat is beautiful, it's still got to fit into Chumash. Things have to make sense. And if it's a beautiful pshat, and that's the way we believe, and there were only two people there, so then let the Torah tell me that. In a befeirish way, so I can believe it. So don't make it not seem that way. Don't make it appear that there was actually a battle, and Avram Avinu went in there actually with an army of 318 men. Choose your mahalach and chumash. But as the Maharal says, what's going on over here? You look in Gemara and Sukkah. And Daf Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph. Two blot in to the third parak of Sukkah. The Gemara has a lot of, if you learn the third parak of Sukkah, it deals with a lot of overlap with the seventh parak of Baba Kama, the Dinim of Gneva and Gzela, because Lulav HaGozel is what the parak is called. And therefore you have a lot of overlap of special takanos and Dinim that apply to Gneva and Gzela. The Gemara says a fascinating story on Daf Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph. And were not for this parsha and were not for the questions that I would ask, I wouldn't necessarily give so much attention to this Gemara. But in light of the questions that we're asking, I think this Gemara is startling. The Gemara in Lamed Aleph and Sukkah says as follows. Hahi Safta, there was an old woman, the Asala Kameh de Rav Nachman, that approached Rav Nachman. Pay attention. Amrle Reish Galusa Vekulhu Rabbanan de Reish Galusa. Listen to this Safta, listen to this old lady. Unbelievable. Can you imagine? Pretend that this is happening right now. Is it Asifas Rabbanan? Asifas Rabbanan and Cholomoy, they're sitting and having a Simchas Beis HaShoeva, they're drinking Yayin, and they're having Mazinus, and they're sharing Devrei Torah, and they're singing songs. The Reish Galusa, the Mamish Head Rav, and all these Talmidei Chachamim and Rabbanim that are sitting at the table of the Reish Galusa, and she walks in there, Ahu Safta, and she says, every single rabbi that's sitting at this table is sitting in a Sukkah Gzula. This Sukkah is stolen. The Sukkah Gzula have a Yasve. They are sitting in a stolen Sukkah. You hear this? Mamish like the, you know, New York Times article about a new tax fraud issue that came up in the religious world. Another person. So this is what happened in the back in the Gemara. Sukkah Lamed Aleph. Hahi Safta, an old woman came in, walked in into the middle of a Simchas Beis HaShoeva. They're in the middle of talking Torah, and this woman says, each one of you, either, I don't care how great you are, you might be the Reish Galusa, you might be Talmid Chacham de Bei Reish Galusa, but you are all sitting in a Sukkah Gzula. Rashi explains that she was claiming that the Gozlu Mimenu Avde Reish Galusa, the Avodim of the Reish Galusa, stole it from my field, ate him, my wood, Visachu Bahem, and now they used it as part of their structure, and they used it as part of the Schach, and it was my wood, and you don't realize that your workers actually took it out of my field, and you're all sitting in a Sukkah Gzula. Whew. Whoa. This is going to get the headlines. This is going to be popular. No, we've got to get on all. This is going to be on Yeshiva World. Says the Gemara, have a yasve tzovka v'lo ashkachba. They were sitting, and she was yelling, and what? Lo ashkachba. They didn't pay attention to her. They ignored her. Sorry, v'lo ashkachba Rav Nachman, he ignored her. Amr le itita. So now, the woman says to Rav Nachman, Amr le, itita dehava le lahab laabua tlas mea vitimnes re avde, tzavcha kamaychu, velo ashkichusa ba. She says to him, I don't understand you. A woman, she says to Rav Nachman, a woman who's screaming her head off, a woman, look how she classifies herself. Itita dehava le laavua, a woman that had for her father tlos meya vitimnis rei avde, a woman that had for her father 318 slaves, lo ashkichasuba, and you're not going to pay attention. And the Gemara concludes, Amar lehu Rav Nachman pa'isahi da ve'ein la elad me'etzim bilvad. Says Rav Nachman, and that's the sugi over here in Sukkah, that there was a takana that was said that even though anytime you steal something min haTorah, you have to give back that exact item, v'heshev es hagzela asher gozel, you have to give it back. However, since it's already built, and this is a sugi in Bava Kama, since it's already built in a building, so then the Gemara says that there's a takana, takanas marish, in order to make it easy to do tshuva, like we had on our Tosfos in the bottom of Gimel and Aleph, so therefore give her the money. Ein la elad me eitzim belvad. It's not going to passel our sukkah. We can still sit in here, and we could just pay her some money off, and then there she should be quiet. And there's that special takana that we don't have to destroy our structure and our schach. And that was the response of Rav Nachman, and therefore v'pnei takonas marish. But what's the Gemara highlighting? The Gemara says Rav Nachman, how dare you ignore me? I'm now screaming that you're sitting in a sukkah gzula. You're sitting in a stolen sukkah. and I am a descendant of the person who has 318 people subservient to him, avodim. And you're going to ignore me? The Mefarshim explain, Rashi on the spot, which avua was she referring to when she said 318 slaves? La avua, la Avram avinu. To Avram, the pasuk that we're talking about right now. Yiladei beiso shmona asar v'shalosh meos. As the pasuk says, when he went to this battle, he went with how many people? 318 chevra. 318 people, Yiladei beiso, went to battle with Avram Avinu. Ribbono shel Olam, what in the world is this Gemara talking about? Number one, is this woman Meshugana? Number one, she's coming in here. I start reading the Gemara, I picture it like Lo Ashkelpu, because she's a Meshugana. But what in the world, when the Gemara says something like this, Rabosai, you could just gloss it over. You could just say, oh, I'm a descendant of Avram Avinu. She didn't say I'm a descendant of Avram Avinu. She didn't say I'm a fellow Yid and you should pay attention to me. The Gemara is quoting this as every word and every line in the Gemara has deep ramazim to it. As Reb Tzadok HaKohen says, and we're going to get to in a second, in general, the daf of a Gemara, what number the Gemara is on, whether it's found on daf Chav Dalid or it's found on Chav Zayin, has an important message. Everything was done with hashkacha. Alachas kama v'kama. If this lady that's coming to convince Rav Nachman to pay attention to her and is saying, I am the son, and I am the descendant of Avram Avinu, but she doesn't say, I'm a fellow Yid, we're all bnei achim, achinu beis Yisrael, pay attention to my needs and give me some tzedakah. That's not what she's saying. She's specifically highlighting one parsha in Parshas Lech Lecha that we are discussing right now. It's because of me being a descendant of Avram Avinu. And Avram Avinu, who went to battle with 318 slaves, therefore, for some odd reason, that's a reason why you should pay attention to my claim. Out of all parshios, out of all psukim that talk about the quality of Avram Avinu, about aspects of Avram Avinu, you're mentioning the fact that he had 318 people that went to battle with him? Why? What's pshat in this Gemara? And to add to the kashas, Rabosai, is that we just proved, as the Gemara Nedarim tells us, and Rashi highlights, it's not even true. It's Eliezer, Gematria, 318. He didn't go to battle with 318 individuals. This woman forgot a Gemara Nedarim. This woman made a wrong cheshbin. That statement, out of all the highlight characteristics of Avram Avinu, the things you want to express, is the only false characteristic of Avram Avinu. And you chose the one we should have said and responded to this. Rav Nachman should have turned to her and said, you read the Gemara Nedarim? He didn't go with 318 people. Please, next. What are you talking about? Number one, I don't even understand why she would highlight such a Gemara. What that has any relevance, and why that has to do anything with the discussion between Rav Nachman and this woman. And why Rav Nachman should pay attention to her. We're shugging a lady. Number two, she's not even correct. It's not even accurate. What's going on over here? Gemara Nedarim that we've quoted, Gemara in the Nedarim and Daflamid Beis, the reason it's brought in Nedarim is because the Gemara talks about in Nedarim all different neders and lishonos and languages that people state and people quote and people say over that have a certain inference, and we have to understand the nature of that statement. And therefore, the Gemara talks about a person who takes a neder from Arelim or Muhalim, people who are Nimol, or I want to be usher from people that are Arelim. So the Gemara gets into a whole discussion. Who does that include? Does that include Goyim? Does that include people who are physically Arelim? And that's the whole end of the third parak of Nedarim is all about that. So therefore, the Gemara gets into a lengthy discussion about our parshios, a lot of different aspects that connect to Mitzvah Smila and Avram Avinu. And then the Gemara talks about our parsha, about the fight with the Shmona Aser V'Shalosh Meos. Vayarek es chanichov. We weren't fully clear what this meant. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu prepared his soldiers, his people, his Yelid Beiso, these people in his house for battle. Comes along the Gemara and says, what's Vayarek es chanichov? What does it mean, Vayarek es chanichov? Shehorikon b'toira. He prepared them for battle. He prepared them for coming, for approaching this world war. Shelimdom Torah, shemerik mikli ze l'toch kli ze, kachu limdom Torah. Avram Avinu took the Torah that he had in one vessel, poured it into another vessel, and he was merik, and filled their whole essence and their bodies, vayarek es chanichov, with Talmud Torah. Azoy zokt Rav, that's what Rav says in the Dorim Adaf Lamed Bezim and Aleph, Pshat in Vayorek es Chanichov. How is that preparation for battle? How is that going to help us? And why is that relevant right now as we're going and approaching World War I with the four kings? Rabosai, please take out the sheet that I just passed out. I'd like to read with you a mimer from Rav Tzadok HaKohen that is extremely timely. It speaks to me, and this is why I wanted to do this right now. It's a gewaldige mimer. It's one of the most moving ones I've ever seen in Rav Tzadok. And I think you'll see and will develop how it really talks to us in the matzav that we're in right now. The mimer is called Ein Li Yehudi Lehisyayish Mishum Davar. Bein b'inyone aguf, afilu cherev chado al tzavaro, al yimne min arachem. Rav Tzadok HaKohen tells us, the Gemara in Brachos and Daf Yud, a Gemara that on a personal note, Rabosai, was on my mind as I approached the first yahrzeit of my father in a few weeks, was on my mind for a few years. My father, unfortunately, as many of you know, was nifter. Last year, this past year, died of brain cancer. And he was an incredible, incredible individual. Incredible Talmud Chacham. Incredible Tzaddik. Incredible Baal Chesed. Sometimes I used to think of him as a Malach. But he suffered, unfortunately, at the end of his life as Yena Machla took over his life towards the last few years. And I struggled. I struggled with a halachic concept. The halachic concept that I struggled with is the concept that we find in Baba Metzia, which is called Yeyush. Yeyush, as the Ketzos HaChoshen and the Nesivos HaMishpat tell us, is not the same as Hefker. When I have an item, when I have this object, and I decide to declare this to be Hefker, to be ownerless, so then basically what I'm doing is, I might not be giving it over to Mickey or to Jeremy or to someone else, but I'm now making it have a halachic status that now I am not the owner anymore. Right now anyone else could take it, it's ownerless. The Nesivos and the Ketzos both point out that Yeyush is different. The Nesivos writes, Yeyush is me giving up hope. Is me saying, I own it. I know I own it. I know it's under my auspices. I know it's in my dome. I know it's in my control and in my it's still governed by me. But you know what? It's inaccessible. It's never going to happen. It's too far away. It's efshur for me to actually get control and be able to get within hold and grab and actually physically maneuver and control this item. So although the Nesivos says from a halachic standpoint, if that object causes problems, If that object damages someone else in the domain or whatever it is, not under my control, who is held responsible? Says the Nesivis, the owner is held responsible. Because it's not Hefker. Yeish is not the same as Hefker, and as long as the transfer of ownership did not happen and was not implemented, I am held responsible. Rabosai, this is something halachic that people have to make sure they understand this Nesivis. It's fundamental for many, many different sugyas in the Zikin, Bamatziah, Babasra, Babakama. But I want to highlight this in the world of Machshava. So too in the world of Machshava, Rabosai, this is something that I for sure own. This is something that is for sure technically under my name and something that I know is there. But I'm right now affected mentally, psychologically, that I can't access it. I can't get to it. And as the translation, as I'm sure the art school translate Yeish as not relinquishing ownership, but literally giving up hope. Giving up hope meaning that yes, I agree to the fundamental presentation of the Nesivis, that I know I own it. I know it's mine. I don't question that reality. I question whether I can do it. I question whether or not in the Sugyas of Bava Metzia I could find it. I question whether or not that item will ever get to be accessible and relate to me ever again. And that's what's called Yeush. Now, yes, it's an important, fundamental concept in the world of Nezikin, in the world of Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, Baba Basra, in the world of Yeush versus Hefker. But Rabosai, in the Pnimius Advarim, if we analyze it, it's an important concept in our world of growth, in our world of Machshava as well. The Gemara says in Brachos, that Rav Tzadok is quoting over here, Afilu cherev munachas al tzavaro shalodom. We learn from David HaMelech. Even if a sword is sitting on top of the neck of an individual and the Malach HaMavis is about to shecht him, a person al yisyayish min arachamim. A person cannot have yeish. A person cannot give up hope. A person cannot stop davening for rachamim. I don't understand it. I don't understand why it happened. I don't understand how it happened. But instead of what the Yetzer Hara tries to do, and I can tell you I was there and I experienced it, and I'm sure there's many experiences that each and every one of us have in our Ace Tsaras. The way the Yetzer Hara works is they have an opportune time during an Ace Tsara, and they say, there is no hope. Give it up. Go with reality, be realistic, and recognize that the doctors have no answer, Rabosai. My father's doctors had no answer. They did not understand why things were happening. They did not understand why things were going this way. They couldn't explain the treatments, they couldn't explain this effect, that effect, and why he had to suffer, and why this, and why that. But you know what the Gemara in Brachos was screaming at? Saying, exactly. As difficult as the tzara is, don't give up. Recognize that there is one reason. Recognize that there is only one way out, and that's to beg for rachamim. Now, this is not for the shmooze right now, and it's for another shmooze about the tokef of what every tefillah and every inyan that was done, even after misa and even after things don't happen the way you program them to happen. I don't run the world. And I don't understand why HaKadosh Baruch Hu does certain things, but I accept the fact that I don't understand. And Emir Tzeshem will talk about another shmuz that I believe that those tefillahs did have an effect and did have a tokef. And maybe it's a shmuz for next parsha. Bionis and Eibeshitz has a whole mahalach of Avraham Avinu's tefillahs in stone that didn't necessarily help. We could shmuz about that next week, but that's not what I want to bring out right now. What I want to bring out is just where the Gemara in Brachos is saying you, is telling us that you should know the Yetzer Hara comes to you at an Ace Tzara, and the Yetzer Hara wants to bring out one word, and that's that this is your life, this is something that's in your domain, this is something that's in your ownership, under governed under your life, and you need to give up hope on it. You need to just relinquish ownership. You need to just say, although I know it's mine, although I know it's happening, it can't. And this exists not only with life and death, Rabosai, this exists in all different types of tzaras. I can't. I can't deal with Yiddishkeit anymore. It's too complicated. I know I'm Jewish. I know I was born to a Jewish mother. I know I went to a school that brought up certain values. I know I've had Rebbeim that told me certain things. But you know what? Ad kan. Medical school, law school, being a finance major, it's too competitive. It's just not meant to be. If I'm going to make a parnasa and I'm going to be successful in life, so then I got to just, although I recognize that I'm Jewish, although I recognize that those values are true, and I even connect to those values, but ad kan. It's time to give yesh. It's time to be misyayish. It's time to let those things go. It's time to, although those things are mine, I right now can't access them anymore. I can't do it anymore. And I have to be misyayish and give up hope, just like I give up hope on that mitzia, on that lost item that I don't think I'm going to get back, although I know it's mine. Bein binyane ha-nefesh, afilu nishtake l'mokum shenishtake v'chet b'dover, v'chata b'dover. This does not only apply to the physical situation that the Gemara in Brachas is talking about, where a person in a Nebuch, Rachmana Litzlan, a life and death situation, but even in Inyane Ruchnius, where it's just too hard to balance this double life, to balance these two roles, and you just say, it's time to be Misyayish on that other role. It's not going to be active anymore, and I'm not going to reach it. She'ein tshuva me'elas chas v'shalom, and the Yetzer Hara tries to tell you that tshuva and coming back is not a reality. You're never going to see this metzia again. You're never going to reconnect to it. So just give up. It's a dime in the middle of Harlem that it's going to be picked up, and you're never going to see it again. So just drop it and move on. Get real, man. It's a dime. Get over it. Just be Misyayish already. Where are you from? Stop making yourself crazy about something that's worth 10 cents. It doesn't even have a simen on it. It's not anything that people could announce and get that Metzia back to you. Just be Misyayish and give up hope. Because now you're in the real world. And the real world has a lot of people that are looking to pick up that dime. And they're not going to get that dime and assist you in getting that dime and 10 cents back to you. Or a person sees that his trends and his direction is falling in to the Olam Hazeh, to the material world.
Do not give up hope, says Rav Tzadok. Ki ein yesh bechlal ela ish etzel yehush yehudi. To be a Jew, by definition, equals, says Rav Tzadok, a simple cheshbon. Jew, Yehudi, equals eino misyayish. A person who never gives up hope. V'Hashem yisbarach yochol lazor b'chol inyin. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hakol yochol. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is capable of anything. He can defeat all odds. He can get a dime without a simon back to its owner. He can get a metzia that you would think is so inaccessible. It's in the middle of China. How's it going to get back over to Washington Heights? How's it going to get back over to the five towns? HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees everything and controls everything, from the health to the monetary to the finances. He controls whether or not you will be successful. So you need to stick with him. And therefore you can't be misyayish and give up hope. B'chol binyan uma ha-Yisraelis, Rabosai, says Rav Tzadok. All these parshios that we're reading now in Sefer Bereishis are all built on this one concept, that the startup of the nation and the buildup of the nation is predicated and fundamentally built off this concept. Ha-Ya'achar ha-Yeish ha-Gamor. Ask yourself a question, Rabosai. Do you ever ask yourself, why couldn't we have just like a normal story? Why couldn't we just come out of Avos HaKadoshim that just we're happily married,
newlyweds, Avraham Avinu and Sarah, you know, they took Chas and Shmuzes, Chas and Kala classes, they got married in Marina Del Rey, Baruch Hashem, and Chapanash catered, Baruch Hashem, a normal situation, we had dancing, very good, by the next year, and they had a kid, Baruch Hashem, and they were normal, Baruch Hashem, Yitzchak, yeah, little Yitzi, Baruch Hashem, why couldn't that be? We had Pearson at the bris, the video cameras were there, thank God, Avraham Avinu, why does the bris milah have to be at such an old age? Why does the bris milah have to be, why does the outcome and the offspring of Avraham Avinu and Sarah Nebuch have to be in such an odd situation that it's from people that say it's impossible. We're so old. I can't even nurse. My husband? Puh! Why is it that his name has to be originating from a laugh? A Yitzchak. Tzolk osoli Elokim. This is hilarious. Who would have ever expected such a thing? What is the thing that you laugh at? Something that's unexpected. That's something that's humorous. When I stand there in shir and I say something that you would never think I would ever say, you guys start laughing. Because that's unexpected. That's what tzchok, that's what yitzchok comes from. But as for tzodek HaKohen, why? Why couldn't we just be normal? Why can't we just have a classic, normal story? And that's how we started, and that's how we'll continue. Says Rav Tzadok, I'll explain to you why. It's exactly what I'm developing for you. The binyan and the creation of Yiddishkeit has to be from a matzav and a situation that a metziah is lost, is no longer under your control, and you did not give up hope, you were not mesiyish, you didn't think that that item and that concept can never exist. I still Davin Takarish Baruch Hu and stayed connected to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. And that's the only reason Yiddishkeit started. That's the only reason Avraham Avinu started. That's the only reason Yitzchak started. And that's the only reason we're Kayam, and we're the only nation that's Kayam Ada Yom Hazeh. Because we are a nation that's not Mesiyayish, that cleaves and connects Takarish Baruch Hu. And that, says Rav Tzadok, is the whole binyan.
And even after the Malachim came, no one believed it. She believed it, but she still laughed. Physically, he wasn't able to. And she's too old. If this was accurate and this is true, Kadosh Baruch Hu would have came to me 75 years ago when I was a right age and of ripe and able to build this to be a reality. Mikodem.
Because we always want to minimize the nes.
Kadosh Baruch Hu did this with such kavanos, such intentions, that the building blocks of the nation, only after a situation where it's shayach to be mesiyayish, and even in a situation when people thought that it was impossible, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to demonstrate that the only way for us to exist is to believe she'ein lehisya'ish klal de le'olam Hashem Yisparach yochol lazor v'hayipole me'Hashem davar, that everyone should know in any situation in life, no matter where you are, hayipole me'Hashem davar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do anything. There is nothing in the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot take care of, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot create. And look at the situation and the formation of your nation and your forefathers as proof positive to such a concept. Ein liyisyayish bebayis Yehudi. There is no room for yeish and giving up hope in the world of a Jewish home. Rabbi say, let's skip a little bit. Although I don't want to, because every word here is gold, I would pay $150 for every word over here. But let's go on to Makabe Patish. Go to the bottom of the paragraph, three lines from the bottom. Va'avram Avinu Rosh Ha'uma
Hu shepasach davar zeh, Avram Avinu, the leader of our nation, the Av of Am Yisrael, he was the one who opened this up to us. Shelolis yaish mishum davar kishenish balot.
Don't allow yourself to give up hope. Your odds are against you. There are four malachim, World War I. These malachim, Rashi tells us, were so strong. And that's why the Torah develops that they even took on the five kings. Because they were so fierce. They were so strong.
But Avram Avinu decided, Shalolis Yayish Mishum Davar, Kishanish Balot, when his nephew was captured, Ukvarnis Yashu, Kula Milahatzil, and everyone else gave up hope. The Amar Kosov Melech Stoimer Rechush Kachloch, the Kfarnes Yayish Bidi Amalachim. The Psukim say, Melech Stoim says, after the Rechush Kachloch, we gave up hope already. We're Messiahish. Take whatever you want. Do you want spoil? What's going on over here? What's Pshat in the Psukim? Why was he so giving? You think Melech Stoim liked Avraham Avinu so much? You think he would have to be the answer is he was Messiahish from it already. He already told his officers that we're not going to get any of this back. It's a dumb deal. It's Yayish. This is a Metziah that's in Taiwan that we're never going to see. Come on. Yay ush. Harakush kachloch Avram Avinu. The Kvarnes Yayish be made amalachim. The Kniya Harkach Avram Avinu. The Kanya Harkach Avram Avinu. Beshina Rishus. And Avram Avinu in a state of Yayush went in there and took gold, which is the concept of Yayush. And anyone could take it. Shina Rishus. Now it's in another person's ownership because the Bailim were Messiahish. I'm allowed to take it after Yayush. The Metziah is mutter to keep. Vavram Avinu Ozer Atzmo Im Shin Yud Ches Yilidei Beiso Lirdof Acher Dalet Malachim. Avram Avinu had a battle not only with four Malachim. Avram Avinu had a battle with the mode of the world, with the perception of the world, with the idea and the concept of Yeyush. Avram Avinu went in there on his own against the four Malachim, and fought not only the four Malachim, but fought the concept of Yayush. I'm going to fight them, even though the odds are against me, because Hayipoli Me'Hashem Dover, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is HaKol Yochol, and I am with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I am the Binyan of the Bayis Yehudi. Ubenedarim, and the Gemara Nedarim Lamed Bal Bezim and Aleph tells us that the 318 men that Avram Avinu went with, Hu begematria Eliezer. Umashmos Hashem Mefurish b'Torah Eitzel Moshe Rabbeinu Ki Eloki be'Ezri b'Yatzilin. What's the name Eliezer? Rabbeinu Shalom, the Torah Akdosha tells us that when Moshe Rabbeinu named his child, he said Eliezer is made up of Eloki Ezri, that Hashem will help me. If you go with the concept of Hashem will help me, of Hashem is always with me, of Hashem can help me overcome, no matter what the odds are, no matter what the numbers are against me. There is no room for Yeish in my life because I am a member of Hashem's family. Eli Ezer, Kaili Ezri, my God will help me. So then, there is no room for Yeish. You're not able to be Messiahish. It's impossible. The Rabbeinu Shalom can't be Messiahish. The Rabbeinu Shalom, there's no room for Yeish in the world with the Rabbeinu Shalom. V'Hashem Yisbarach Yachol Lazor, Gam Achar Yeish, Ein Lis Yeish Meshum Dover. Rabosai, and here's the Makkah B'Patish. Listen to what Rav Tzadok says, and I think this will answer all of our questions. V'Zehu Remez Mispar Shin Yud Ches, Begematria Yeush Imakolel. Hainu Shem Mispar Zeh, Hu hamotzi midayish, umore Hashem yisparach, shehashem yisparach, ozem lekol davar, shaadam choshev lehisyayish.
Says Rav Tzadok HaKohen, you want to know why the Torah tells us how many individuals went to battle with Avram Avinu, that he went with 318 men? Because the gematria of Yeyush is what? Aleph Bob 317. Shin Yud Zayin. If you are a Yid and you make sure that in your life you are not going to be Messiahish, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Eliezer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help me throughout any situation, even if the odds are against me, and in a realistic world this makes no sense, then you are above Shin Yud Zayin.
You are above the concept of Yesh. You are one more than Shin Yud Zion, which is how many soldiers? Shin Yud Ches. 318 soldiers. Rabosai, the Torah is not randomly telling you that Avraham Avinu was training 318 men. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam is telling you in the Torah Akdoisha, there's only one way that Avraham Avinu was able to win this battle. And it's not because Avraham Avinu was in Yamam, or was in Duvdavan, or was skilled with special forces. That's not true. It's because of what the Gemara says. He took those 318 men. He took those people that were one above Yeush. Those family members that believed in the ideals of Avraham Avinu. The concept of one above Yeush. Shin Yud Ches 318. Vayorok Eschanichov. And he prepared them for battle. Had he prepared them for battle, like the Gemara Nadarim tells us, Shehorikon B'toira. The only way that the Tzva Haganali Yisrael, the only way that the Mishmar HaGvul will be successful is if I have 318 soldiers, is if I have an army right now that knows and recognizes that it's only through HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I could win this. Rabosai, Yeish is all over. I saw every time I look at the news, I'm not looking for news. I'm actually going on to look for no news. That is the situation that we have gotten to. I'm begging that every time I press a button to look on, to go to what's going on, Aretz Sheva or Yeshiva World, whatever's going on, I just want to make sure that there is no terror alert. I want to make sure that these plans of taking knives and dipping them into poison so that everyone will be stabbed, will die on the spot, that now they're planning to do, will end. I want to see no news. I want to not have to go on these websites anymore. That's what I'm looking for. And the Yetzer Hara is getting to me. And it's Yeush. How are we going to win? If there's poison on the knives, how is it going to happen? Rabosai, it's coming from all over. South Africa is hosting Hamas. The countries around are saying Israel is at fault. What's going on? It's like Netanyahu said, which planet are you on? Are you on the same planet as me? Do you see what's going on? Rabosai, it's just unbelievable. And it's Yeish. I gotta throw in the towel. It's enough. It's not realistic. It's like a dream. Yes. That's how I know it's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's how I know the only way I can win this battle and the Tzva Hagana Yisrael and the Mishmar HaGvul could be successful is if there are 318 soldiers that are now connecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that are learning Torah, L'shem, the Hatzlacha of Am Yisrael, and that's the only way such a small, weak army will defy odds and beat any number, and mimic Avraham Avinu, that didn't even go to battle with those 318 men. And we asked, so why are we mentioning the 318 men? If he went with Eliezer, let the Torah say that explicitly, like the Maharal asks. The answer is, Rabosai, no. The Torah wants you to know about the 318 men. The Torah wants you to know that this and every situation of a tzara is a potential situation of a yeish, of giving up hope, of shin yud zayin, the gematria of yeish. But what do we do as Am Yisrael? We galvanize the troop, not only in Eretz Yisrael, not only in the yeshivas in Bnei Brak, in Yerushalayim, in Yavne, in Shalavim, in Gush Etzion, wherever it is. The troops are not only Eliezer and Avraham Avinu. Those are the people that technically went to battle. But the only way the Rabbeinu Shel Olam made it that Avraham Avinu and Eliezer were victorious over such great numbers and defeating all odds was because he went with the gematria of Eliezer. The gematria of Eliezer, which means Pshutu Kemashmo, Keli, Ezri, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help me. And that's the gematria of 318. So the Rabbeinu Shalom wants the Torah to have both numbers in there. Yes, the technical battle was actually with Eliezer and Avram Avinu. And that's actually what physically happened. But that wasn't why we were victorious. The reason why we were victorious is because there was a whole unit at home, in the Beis Medrash, in the Bate Knesios, that were representing a number of one above Shin Yud Zayin, one above the number of Yeyush, and were involved in Shehoriken B'Torah Vayarek Es Chanicha. So when you ask me, why isn't the Torah accurate? Who is the Torah really trying to present? Rashi's saying Eliezer fought, the Torah is saying 318 men. It's not a question, in my opinion. Because the only reason Eliezer had the koach of what his name represents, of Keli Ezri, the only reason Eliezer had the gematria of Shin Yud Ches and was able to be victorious and defeat odds and save Am Yisrael from such a scary war, World War I, is because he had 318 men that were part of his battleship, that were part of his army, that were part of his unit, that were connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and recognizing the only way we can win and we can get out of the tzara is if we implement Shin Yud Ches. Is if we implement 318, which is stepping up and going above and beyond the concept of Yesh. It's only through that koach, it's only through that number that Eliezer got his koach of what his gematria represents and had the capability physically to now win and be victorious with Avram Avinu over the nations of the world, over the Arba Meloch. So Rabbeisai, as Rav Tzadok HaKohen said, this Safta was a Lamed. This Safta knew everything that we're talking about right now. Hahu Safta that walks in the Gemara in Sukkah and says, all you bunch of Rabbanim are sitting in a Sukkah Gzula, you Gneva, you Gazlonim. What are you doing sitting in a Sukkah Gzula? And they didn't pay attention to her. Meshugana, stop bothering us. And then the woman says to Rav Nachman, Rabbi, let me tell you something. I am the son and the descendant of Avram Avinu who had 318 slaves. And we ask that of all the characteristics and qualities of Avram Avinu, she mentions the number 318 slaves. Why? Says Rav Tzadok, what was this woman trying to present? You have a stolen sukkah. You are sitting in a stolen sukkah. The only reason why I could begin to imagine why you're not paying attention to my claim is because you think that the owner gave up hope. The owner implemented Yeyush. The owner is no longer wanting and desiring that item, and therefore a person can pick it up, and it's ownerless, not ownerless technically, but rather it's able to be picked up by someone else, and ownership can be taken over by someone else once you pick it up. She says, Chevra, Avram Avinu had 318 members in his army. Avram Avinu was won over Yeyush. I'm a descendant of Avram Avinu. Don't you dare think that I'm Yisya'ish. That's what Tzadok says over here, is the Pshat in the Gemara in Sukkah. B'nirolei v'zeh divrei ahi safta itzasa t'havala via shin yur ches avodim ayin sham v'haynu d'choshva. She thought, ulai sovrim v'stam zeila yeish bailim. Maybe you're thinking that every zeila, the bailim are Yisya'ish from? No. I'm a descendant of Avram Avinu. I know this mimer of Rav Tzadok HaKohen. I know why the Torah delineated to me, even though they didn't actually physically go to battle, why those 318 individuals are relevant. Because it shows the yesod of what it means to be a Yid. What it means to be against all odd. What it means and how it is to be victorious and to overcome an Eis Tzara. Sarabosai, not to minimize Chas V'Shalom, not to distort the facts. On the contrary, it's scary. It's terrifying. I myself am scared every time I look, every time I think about it. But if anything, it just is mechazik me more that the only way out is with the number 318. Is with my Talmud Torah. Is with my Tfilos. That is the only way the Mishmar HaGvul and the Tzvah HaGanol Yisrael and the Eliezer and Avraham Avinu couple that is actually going to physically fight the battle, they can only do that if they get my koach of one over Yeish and my assistance in connecting and cleaving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and recognizing I need to activate and press the button of Eliezer, of Gematria Shin Yudches. And because I'm a descendant of Avraham Avinu, I take this message of Lech Lecha in this week's Parsha, and I know that if we put this through and we press the right buttons, even in our home, 6,000 miles away, we will be victorious and we will overcome, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu will do what he has to do to protect us and save Am Yisrael against all odds. Afilu cherev munachas al tzavaro shel adam, even if a sword is on your throat, al yisyaish, don't you dare give in to the number Shin Yud Zayin. Don't you dare give in to the concept of Yeish and giving up hope. Chavis.